and that changing the medium alone enhances learning. And somehow you can magically take content and interactions and dump them into some new device, an iPad, an iPhone, whatever it might be, and it's going to be magically transformed and people will learn better. But we know, those of us who have been in the field some time, that the teacher in most cases is absolutely essential, that learning is difficult. Learning takes time. Learning takes effort. There's no way to make learning easy. And that it's not about changing the medium. It's about changing the message. But a lot of good corporations, I'm a big fan of Apple products and Adobe products. This is an ad that Adobe runs in some of our higher education magazines. It says, ready or not, here they come. And you see this little girl, okay, in the ad. Here she is, she's got, oh, everything. She's got her laptop, her cell phone, her digital camera, her MP3 player, et cetera, et cetera. And the implication is that because this child has all these technologies and has a facility with them, that somehow they're coming to your campus and they're going to be dramatically different in terms of their learning abilities. And I can tell you now, the evidence just isn't there. The evidence is very weak. But people persist. Here's a 2008 book. This is called Disrupting Class, How Disruptive Innovation Will Change the Way the World Learns. And Clayton Christensen, who has some good ideas, particularly with respect to innovation within the corporate world, he wrote, technology will replace teaching as we know it. Sound familiar? Because of the technological and economic advantages of computer-based learning compared to the monolithic school model. And another book that Larry Rosen actually argues that these new technologies are rewiring the brains of young people. Of course, Mark Prensky and his digital natives and other people have made this argument. Rosen writes, literally, their minds have changed, they have been rewired, the educational content is not the problem, it's the delivery method and the setting. But this idea of somehow rewiring the brains has been around at least for a couple hundred years. This is an early school in France, I think, where they're grinding up the textbooks and pumping them right into the students' brains. And we just think somehow that, you know, we can put information and limited interactions onto some tool and that learning will automatically occur. And even some very good people seem to promote this myth. But the research doesn't back it up. The problem, of course, is the research remains primarily pseudoscientific. Most of the research done in my field of educational technology is very, very poor research. For example, some of you may have seen this. This is promoted, you see this on a lot of corporate websites and some schools and so forth. And it's a pyramid that indicates that as you start getting students more and more active, more and more learning would occur. So if they're reading, they only retain 10%. If they listen, they get 20%. Look at pictures, 30%. Watch movies, 50%. If they participate in the discussion and give a talk, 70%. And then, of course, down to simulations and doing the real thing, 90%. And I think all of us would agree that there's some trends here, for sure. But it turns out that this is totally bogus. This was actually made up by some petroleum engineers who worked for Gulf Oil in 1961. They took some research that was totally different context and made that pyramid up. And somehow it's persisted, and I find it on people's websites and in their brochures and so forth. But Michael Melenda, a professor at Indiana University, has done an excellent job of showing how this is totally bogus. The reality of research in educational technology is that most researchers conduct individual studies that are rarely connected to a robust research agenda. They tend to, the same people who were investigating, how CD-ROMs are going to revolutionize the world are now predicting that it's e-learning or iPads or whatever. These studies that they do are presented at conferences, but that are attended only by other researchers, not by practitioners, and they're published